What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Are you ready?
Hey, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
Nation, what is up? What is happening? We are back again with another week. We are on to week five. We're going to be breaking down DraftKings week five main slate, as always, as we go position by position like we always do. But before we get started, Maddie, how are you doing tonight? How are you feeling about this week?
Oh, I'm doing good, man. Hopefully this Thursday night game isn't any indication of what's to come for this weekend with all the injuries we've seen. Russell Wilson leaving the game early, but I'm glad to get week four behind us. Week four was a brutal week for me, so excited to move on to week five.
Yeah, it was a little rough. A little rough. Was it, the old showdown slate continues to carry me, so that's good. Continues to, make my weeks. So, but, the main slate's been okay, but, it is what it is, but we are a forward-thinking podcast. No reason to harp on last week. So why don't we just jump right into it? So starting off at the quarterback position, this week we do not have Lamar Jackson. We do not have Josh Allen, nor do we have Patrick Mahomes on this slate because they play on Sunday night and Monday night football. So as of right now, you have the top price quarterback, that's Kyler Murray at 8K going against San Francisco. Tom Brady at 7,400. Aaron Rodgers at 7,100. Jalen Hurts at 7K going against Carolina. Dak Prescott, who's probably going to be the most expensive or most owned quarterback on the slate, at 6,900. Herbert at 6,800. Sam Darnold at 6,600. Kirk Cousins, 65. Ryan Tannehill, 64. Derek Carr at 61. Joe Burrow at 61. And Daniel Jones at 6K. So, where are you looking to start your builds this week in terms of the quarterback position?
Assuming Trey Lance isn't going to be insanely popular, $5,700 for Trey Lance against Arizona feels like where I'm going to start my builds pretty much for the most part this week. That's just too cheap. And the guy came in and absolutely smashed in only one half of football last week. He's your Konami code, dual threat quarterback. And playing against Arizona, he's going to be forced to do it all from the quarterback position. I mean, he had 18 pass attempts and 7 rush attempts last week in one half a play and finished with 20 DraftKings points. So $5,700 is just too cheap in that kind of game environment. For a team that you know is still struggling to have healthy running backs. So definitely look for him to have a lot of designed runs and use his explosive arm down the field. We saw him connect with Debo a couple times. So I think that, you know, it's a pretty easy stack to just load up with Debo or Kittle. And you got the Arizona side on the other side of the ball. I really like that. I just like that game as a whole. So definitely like Lance. And I know it's weird to kind of start down at the lower end of the pricing range, but you know, that's the first guy that really stands out for me this week. Outside of that, I do like Joe Burrow at 6,100 that you read off just a second ago. We're expecting Joe Mixon to miss this game. And, you know, with P. Ryan and Chris Evans being the main two guys in that offense to run the football, I think Joe Burrow is going to be asked to throw a little bit more. And they should be getting T. Higgins back this week as well. So you're looking at a full complement of pass catching weapons for Joe Burrow against a Green Bay defense that is absolutely abysmal. And that game's really easy to stack up too, especially running it back with Devontae Adams on the other side. So I really like Joe Burrow here. And then the Giants Cowboys game is definitely a good one that a lot of people are going to attack. It's just going to be very popular. So definitely, you know, like that game there. Won't go too much into that because that's pretty much the obvious one this week. And then I like Tom Brady in what should be a pace up game against a Miami team that's actually been playing pretty fast this year. And we know Tampa Bay's defense is very, very bad against the pass. So, they're down to like their third and fourth string cornerbacks, and they're signing guys off the street. I mean, Richard Sherman just came in and after being in street clothes for how long and started last week. So that's the point that their cornerbacks have reached with they had Carlton Davis, who's now out for, you know, multiple weeks on IR with a quad injury. And so they've got some really bad cornerbacks coming into play there. And so I think that, you know, the Dolphins should be able to keep up pace on the other side, you know, attacking with Jalen Waddle and Devontae Parker and Mike Gesicki. So I really like that game as well. So those are pretty much the three stacks outside of that Giants-Dallas game that I think I'm going to key on for the most part. What about you?
Yeah, I think for me, when it comes to kind of looking at some of these quarterbacks, you know, I really, you know, you kind of mentioned some of these games, but the Aaron Rodgers, the Green Bay Cincinnati game, I think is going to be a game that gets overlooked a little bit, where maybe some people just want to play some pieces, but not really game stack this game. And I think that's a mistake right now with Green Bay at Cincinnati. And, you know, right now it looks like that Joe Mixon is going to be out. So I think that probably forces the Bengals to throw the ball even more so than what we've seen from them. And whether you want to play Aaron Rodgers or you'd rather play Joe Burrow, I definitely think both of them are viable. I like Aaron Rodgers at 7,100. If you look at Aaron Rodgers, you know, since week one, he has, you know, really kind of taken a step forward since that abysmal week one game against New Orleans. You know, since week one, he has posted two top eight performances, and he also has thrown at least two passing touchdowns in every game since. He's also 21st, but he's, you know, with him only being 21st in attempts, he is 14th in air yards and fourth in deep ball attempts as well. And, like, you know, I've been hearing a lot of talk this week about Cincy's defense and about how good they are, or, you know, how well they played so far, but they really haven't faced many great offenses. I mean, they placed Pittsburgh, the Bears, and, you know, the Jaguars, right, so far in the last 3 weeks of the season, so since week one against Minnesota. So I don't think they've seen an offense, you know, like this, like this Green Bay offense can get. So I like Aaron Rodgers, and if he's going to have no ownership, you know, I'm about that life, because Aaron Rodgers, we know, you know, he does not have the same rushing upside that he used to. But I still think that, you know, he is somebody with this type of ceiling that could throw four or five passing touchdowns. And I think this game could end up being a real big shootout here. So I like both sides of the ball, you know, attacking this game. And I don't think it's going to have the ownership as it should, because I think most people are going to attack this Dallas Giants game. I mean, I can see that going so many different directions. And what has to worry me a little bit about Dak is, if they can get a lead on the Giants, they're going to run the ball. That's what they've been doing this year. They're 20th in pass attempts, 22nd in deep ball completion percentage for Dak this year, 22nd in air yards, but he is third in touchdowns. He has a 7.5% touchdown rate, and he's just been incredibly, incredibly efficient on the year, because the attempts aren't there. They haven't really had to throw the ball, but he's just, in terms of the touchdowns, what's carrying them. He has scored three of the four games. He scored 20-plus DK points, but he has a 78% completion percentage and is fifth in both play action and red zone completion percentage over that over that span. Now, they do have the second highest implied point total on the slate, and the Giants are 24th in pass DVOA and have allowed the 10th most DK points to the position. But, you know, I am a little nervous about Dak because, like I said, if they get a lead, they're going to run Zeke down their throat. That's what they've been doing. And so that's my only concern with playing Dak. Like, I think that, you know, you need the Giants to pull them along or push them to make them air it out. Because if they don't, I think this game could turn a different direction because the Cowboy defense has played pretty well so far this year. And I think much higher than what people thought it would. So that is my concern there. And if it's going to be the highest owned, you know, if Dak Prescott's going to come in as the highest owned or Daniel Jones, like, I'm going to pivot. And so, because I just think that game could go a lot of different directions. I also like Jalen Hurts at 7K. You know, he has that Konami code upside as well. He is currently second in carries among all running backs, but also second in rush yards with 226. He does only have one rushing touchdown, so I think there's going to be some positive regression coming there. But he's averaging 25.3 DK points on the season because of that rushing upside, and he's 7K. Now, granted, the Carolina defense has been really good. They currently rank fifth in pass DVOA and eighth in rush DVOA. But with his rushing upside, I like Jalen Hurts every single week because of what he brings to the table with that. Past that, like, you know, I think Trey Lance, if he's going to go under-owned and no one's going to play him, then I'll have interest in Trey Lance. But if he gets up to like 20-25% ownership, I'm going to be out on that. Because while he has that rushing upside for sure, I am nervous about him as a passer because, one, this defense is really good that they're going to be playing, especially this pass defense in Arizona. Two, he looked terrible as a passer last week. Now, it was just a half a football and a really small sample size. But that play he hit to Debo, if it hadn't been, you know, he wasn't so wide open, that would have been a really, really bad play. Because he majorly underthrew him. It just happened to be nobody around him whatsoever. But if nobody's going to play him because of his rushing upside and he's only 5,700, I don't mind playing him. I like Trevor Lawrence at 5,800, who's a little bit more expensive than he is. But he gets Tennessee. Tennessee's defense is absolutely trash. And, you know, we just saw Zach Wilson, you know, play really well against that defense after Zach Wilson had looked lost up to that point. So I like Trevor Lawrence as well in this game, and I think it's a cheap stack whether you want to go with Marvin Jones or you want to go with Laviska Shenault. And he did finally show some rushing upside that we knew he had last week against the Bengals on Thursday night. So I do like Trevor Lawrence as well at that price if I'm going to pay down at quarterback. Are you interested at all in Ryan Tannehill at 6,400, or are you staying away from that because it's probably going to be where they're just going to run Derrick Henry down the throat? Because it does sound like A.J. Brown will be back this week.
Yeah, no, I can't play Ryan Tannehill. That offense has just been completely different in terms of from an offensive coordinator standpoint, because they did change OCs. They've completely gone away from play action pass, and it's been more of a, you know, just straight up pass kind of offense. And I don't think that fits the pieces that they have, especially with Derrick Henry, you know, being your main guy in the backfield. So I'm off Tannehill. I just have concerns about that offense as a whole. I mean, they struggled to beat – they didn't even beat the Jets last week. And I know that game went to overtime, but that game shouldn't have been that close. And I know they were without, you know, A.J. Brown and Julio Jones. But if you're just getting A.J. Brown back, I mean, that doesn't do you much better than what you had last week. I mean, yes, he is a significant upgrade over what they ran out there. But, I mean, just one guy isn't going to change the entire game like that. So – I definitely have concern playing those guys in Tennessee and Derrick Henry. You know, we can talk about it at running back, but he's going to be the highest on running back once again. So definitely an interesting spot there. And I just want to piggyback off your Jalen Hurts call. I definitely like that. Carolina, while their metrics check out good, they started the year off with they faced Jameis Winston. They have faced Davis Mills. And in week one, they also played somebody terrible, and it is slipping my mind at the second. The Jets. Yeah. So Zach Wilson and the Jets in his first game as an NFL QB. So you've got Jets, New Orleans, and Houston with a backup QB. So three teams that are going to be bottom of the barrel in terms of offensive production. And then Dallas goes out last week, and Dak was like the most efficient quarterback on the slate. He barely threw the ball, but threw what, four touchdowns, five touchdowns. And the ground game just absolutely obliterated Carolina. So they finally faced a good offense in Dallas, and Dallas absolutely demolished them and put up, you know, almost 40 points against them last week. So definitely, you know, this may be a spot to take advantage of an offense playing against that Carolina defense while they still have red numbers next to their name. So I definitely like that call a lot.
Yeah, and I don't even really mind, you know, going on the other side of that and playing Sam Darnold as well. It sounds like Christian McCaffrey's got to play. He practiced again today. He practiced Wednesday. He practiced today. All reports that he looks great. He feels great. They talked to him today after practice, so they said he feels good. He's ready to go. Matt Rhule said they're going to test him out pregame on Sunday, and you know, if he's ready to go, you know, he's going to be back out there. So I like Sam Darnold as well. Like, Sam Darnold has done a really good job so far this year. I mean, I don't think anybody expected him to play as well as he has. I mean, he has not scored less than 20 DK points in any week of the season. He scored 36 last week, 28 the week before, 22 and 20. So, I mean, the guy just continues to rack up rushing touchdowns as well. It's been pretty insane. And on a site like DK, you know, rushing touchdowns go a long way because, you know, you get that 6-point touchdown. So I don't mind Sam Darnold either, because I like the, you know, the weapons that are there. And I guess if you don't have any other quarterback to talk about, I think we could move on to running back, because that'll lead us into running backs.
Yeah, we can go ahead and move over.
All right, so at running back this week, you know, we have Derrick Henry, who is the highest priced running back. And I think, you know, heading into the week, my initial thought was he's going to be chalk. Everybody's going to play him. They're going against Jacksonville. He destroys Jacksonville every time you play him. And he's 9K. Then you have Christian McCaffrey, who's only 8,700, which is way, way too cheap for him. But now it looks like he's going to play. And then you have Alvin Kamara at 8,600, Dalvin Cook at 84, Aaron Jones at 79, Eckler at 76, Saquon Barkley at 73, and Zeke at 7K in this, you know, upper tier. And if Christian McCaffrey plays at 8,700, you just fucking lock him in, you know? Lock him in everywhere you go, because this is a guy who his floor is so high, it is ridiculous. And I can't remember the exact stat. I talked about this last night on our other show that we do. And I think it's since 2019. When he's played, he has not finished lower than RB8 on the week. That is ridiculous.
It's insane.
And yeah. So with him at 87, you just have to lock him in. You just lock him in there. You know, and so is that what you're doing if he plays? You're just locking him in?
Oh, absolutely. With the hamstring injury, it's such a delicate injury, right? You know, it's something you can re-injure pretty easily if you rush back too early. So if he is coming back and he's going to play, you know, I would think that he's pretty much as good and healthy as he's going to be for the rest of the year, because, you know, he's not going to have any time off, you know, until a bye week. So, you know, and they had originally said that they were expecting him to miss 2 weeks. So that this – And he got hurt in a Thursday game. So, I mean, it's not really that far off the timeline they were expecting. So, yeah, it's 8,700. Anything under 9K for McCaffrey is just go ahead and lock him in.
I absolutely agree. I just think you're just not going to be able to get away with that. You know, who are some other running backs that you are looking at here? Because, man, I want to play Dalvin Cook so bad. 8,400. It feels like he can absolutely smash that prize. And against Detroit, Detroit is absolutely horrendous. But Dalvin Cook has not practiced Wednesday or Thursday. He's been a non-participant so far this week. But they've already talked about him and basically have said that he does not have to practice to play. And he wants to play through this injury that he has, this ankle injury. But this seems really, really – I don't think he's going to have high ownership because of it. Because if you look at him last week, I mean, he only rushed the ball 9 times. He did have 6 targets in that game against Cleveland, which is one of the best, one of the best defense, especially the defensive fronts you're going to see all year. But, you know, with him missing practice, like, are you going to play Dalvin Cook?
No, he only played 49% of the snaps last week. And I know you just touched on his rushing volume. So he was involved in the pass game, which kind of saved him from a fantasy perspective a little bit. But only playing 49% of the snaps, that is a red flag for a guy who typically sees 80. So I at that high price tag, I can't, you know, sure, I mean, he could burn me, but just the likelihood of it happening, it's less likely than it normally would be. And I think, honestly, he's going to be more popular than we think he's going to be because people see Detroit and they're going to play Dalvin against Detroit. So I'm out on that.
Yeah, it's tough because, like I said, you know, it's just a great, incredible matchup, but I don't know how this is going to go. And I mean, if he's only going to play, you know, limited snaps, he's not going to play his full complement of work, you know, workload. I just think at that price tag, it's a little bit too risky to play him. Who are some other running backs you're interested in?
I really like Saquon. I mean, I feel like it was just 2 weeks ago, you know, we were talking about Saquon needed to show us, it was before the Atlanta game, actually, that Saquon needed to show us, you know, that he was going to have a pass game involvement because ever since Eli left and Daniel Jones came around, you know, his pass game involvement, you know, kind of plummeted, and he's coming back off that injury and hadn't really been given a full workload, a complement of snaps and carries and targets and all that. And finally, the last 2 weeks, he had 23 opportunities in week three and then 19 opportunities last week. He's got 13 targets in the last 2 weeks. Dallas is bottom of the barrel in run defense. They rank 23rd in adjusted line yards, 26th in second level yards, and 26th in open field yards. And we just saw Saquon demolish this New Orleans defense just last week that, you know, is a top five run defense. So it doesn't get much better for Saquon, especially with a Giants offense that's pretty much banged up at the wide receiver position as well. So maybe that's what's contributed to his target share going up, but I definitely like Saquon here, and he's going to go overlooked because, you know, his price tag has creeped up over 7K, 7,300. And I think a lot of people around that price tag are just going to play Zeke Elliott for 300 less. So I definitely like Saquon up there. And then from there, scrolling down, you know, I think James Robinson is interesting. Carlos Hyde was inactive last week, and we finally got to see, you know, what James Robinson can do in a main role. And he got 20 opportunities last week and had 21 opportunities 2 weeks ago. So he's finally starting to get back to that role that he had last year. And he's only 6K against Tennessee. And then you keep scrolling down. I think Kareem Hunt is really interesting at 5,800 against the Chargers. You know, him and Chubb have pretty much been splitting the work right down the middle. He's got double-digit carries in three straight games, 11 targets in his last two games. The Chargers are the worst run defense in the NFL, and Baker Mayfield is playing through a torn labrum in his left shoulder. And so any excuse for Cleveland to lean on the run, I think that they will do that. And the reason that, you know, I kind of like Hunt over Chubb is because – Chubb has had zero pass game involvement. I mean, none. So he has to get you 120 yards and two touchdowns for him to even sniff the optimal lineup on a weekly basis, because he's literally getting zero or one targets a game. So I like Kareem Hunt for that reason, because he is the pass catching running back, and he's seeing, you know, four, seven, like he's getting good targets to go with double-digit carries against this defense that's awful against the running back position. So I really like him. And then Damian Williams at 5,600 against the Raiders. The Raiders have been pretty bad against the run. They rank 14th in adjusted line yards, but they come in at 23rd in allowing second-level yards and 30th in open field yards. So they are allowing a lot of big plays to the running back position. And there is going to be nobody that comes in the game behind Damian Williams. I'm expecting it to be his backfield for this game, with Montgomery being out. So Damian Williams at 5,600 in a good matchup against Las Vegas. And you know, with Justin Fields, you know, we saw Montgomery have a big game last week with Justin Fields in there. And that's kind of what we touched on last week as well, is that when you have a really good mobile quarterback like Fields, it opens up running lanes for the running back as well. It kind of hinders the check downs, because the quarterback will tend to take off and run sometimes, but it opens up the running lanes because the linebackers and defensive ends have to hold and recognize that the quarterback has rushing potential and they can't just fully commit to the running back. So I like Damian Williams a good amount this week, and I'm curious what your thoughts are on him, because I'm assuming he's going to be somewhat popular. Right now, he's not coming in at high ownership, but I think that's going to change.
I think it worries me a little bit because I think that I know they love Khalil Herbert. And I think there's a chance that Damian Williams kind of stays in a similar role than what he was in. And Khalil Herbert soaks up the early down work. And Damian Williams, you know, takes more on the third down pass catching work in this game. Because if you look at last week, now it wasn't too many. I think it was 12 snaps is all they really played without David Montgomery once he went down. Khalil Herbert played 5 of those 12 snaps, and Damian Williams played 7. So it was pretty close. Now, it's very, very thin, right? And it's very, very, you know, we're talking about a 12-snap sample size, so that we can't really draw too much from that. But I do think Khalil Herbert is going to be involved here in this offense, and I think that we could probably be sharing something like a 50% touch share. And so that's what would worry me, I think, the most.
Yeah, and my, I guess my counterargument to that would be, was the game already completely out of hand? I would assume it was because they won by double-digit points over Detroit last week. So I wonder if that helped contribute to the snaps that Herbert saw. But, I mean, Williams has had a role even with Monty being healthy.
Sure, he's not going anywhere. You know, I still think he could even be – maybe it's a 50-50 or more of a, you know, 55-60-40 split. I think it's possible.
See, I think on my end, I think I see it closer to like an 80-20. Because Williams, you know, he can catch passes. He can run the ball. He can do it all. And we've seen him have success, you know, when he was the main guy in Kansas City. Now, granted, playing in the Kansas City offense is a little different than playing in the Chicago offense. But even then, he can carry the load.
Yeah, but I mean, but he never carried the ball like that either in Kansas City. I mean, it was more of a, I mean, he was the starter for sure, but I mean, he wasn't out there getting, you know, 80% of the touch. It was more like 60%. And so I think that's likely more where he comes in at, but I don't mind it. If his ownership's not going to be high, I don't think it's a crazy play, but it's just like play him at 5,600. Or why not just play James Robinson at 6K? I mean, James Robinson is my favorite running back on the slate. Like, I think he smashes this week. You know, he's getting 72% of the opportunities in this backfield. He's being heavily utilized as a pass catcher as well. A 12.5% target share for James Robinson. He's run 80 routes, which is 6th most among all running backs right now. And so, you know, he's looked really good. He's 11th in evaded tackles. And so I like James Robinson in a matchup against Tennessee. I think he smashes this week. And so, you know, at 6K, like, it's going to be really hard for me not to have an absolute metric fuck ton of James Robinson because the matchup is there. Even if they fall behind, he's going to be utilized as a pass catcher. So I like James Robinson at his price, and it's going to be really hard to get away from there. And then not even just mentioning him, I also think DeAndre Swift is definitely in play at 6,100. I know he was limited today with a groin injury, but it sounds like he's going to play. And we talk about, you know, how bad some defenses are. Minnesota is terrible against the run. They are 30th in adjusted line yards, and they are 30th in second level and open field, right? And so Minnesota has been awful against the run. And so I think this sets up for a really big game for DeAndre Swift, utilizes a pass catcher as well. And he's only 6,100. Like, I feel like DeAndre Swift should be more expensive than this. Now, he has been kind of hit or miss, where it's kind of been every other week where he's kind of went off and then he comes back to earth and then he goes off again the next week. But at 6,100 in a matchup against Minnesota, I like DeAndre Swift as well in the 6K range.
Yeah, no, I definitely like Swift as well. His pass game involvement is just too good to ignore on a site like DraftKings, where it's full PPR. I mean, 11, 5, 7, and 6 targets at the running back position is pretty dang good. And then you're going to likely get double-digit carries or close to it. In a year where running back has been absolutely abysmal in terms of production and, you know, guaranteed volume on a week-to-week basis, I definitely think that Swift is in play here.
Yeah, for sure. I guess before we jump over to the wide receivers, are you playing Samaje Perine? It sounds like Joe Mixon is out going against Green Bay. Like, no. I don't know how involved he's going to be as a pass catcher at all, but
he won't be. It'll be Chris Evans, but right, like the third down guy.
I mean, last week he played 26% of the snaps. He had three carries. He ran six routes, one target, one reception. But he's only 4K. Like, do you view him as a free square?
No, absolutely not. Like we always talk about, you know, everybody sees 4K and starting running back and things like that. And they just completely throw out the window the fact that your running back still has to get you, you know, 20 to 25 fantasy points, even at that 4K price, for you to be starting to be in the consideration for taking down tournaments. And I just don't see how P. Ryan burns me. Like, he's in the style of play as Nick Chubb, right? Like, if he's not going to get any targets or very minimal, then he has to go for 100 yards and two touchdowns just to sniff 26 DraftKings points. And I think that, you know, I'm going to take my chances that that doesn't happen.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree. I don't,
especially think if he's picking up ownership, which I'm sure he will. Maybe, I don't know, maybe not, because people, there are 6K running backs that we just talked about, like Swift and Robinson. So you might not need the 4K running back this week to, you know, jam in the studs that you want to play. But if he's popular, that's even more so of a reason. But I just can't see him burning me if I don't play him.
I don't either. I don't know how involved he's going to be as a pass catcher anyway.
Yeah.
He's not really known to be a pass catching running back. So I think that he's certainly, you know, depending on how this game script goes, you know, he's going to be probably the lead back, but I just don't know how much he's utilized as a pass catcher. But I am kind of interested to see what his ownership's going to come in at only 4K. But
my guess is it's going to be, I'd say, somewhere around the 10% range.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. I think you're probably right on that. I don't think he's going to be somebody who gets up to, you know.
Yeah, because he's not like a hyped up player, but he's, you know, he is going to be in that starting running back role. So I think just from that, he will garner some ownership, but I don't think it's going to get out of control.
So other than that, like, I don't really have any other running backs that I want to talk about, you know, other, because, you know, I'm not going to. So I guess for me, like, you know, it's Christian McCaffrey. I'm probably going to play him as much as I possibly can. I love Saquon. I love that call that you made with him. Ezekiel Elliott is definitely in play against the Giants, especially still when he's only 7K. Nick Chubb, I don't mind Nick Chubb at 5,700. You're right. He does not catch passes, and it makes him a little bit more of a thinner play, and definitely has a lower ceiling than some of these guys do. But the Chargers are terrible against the run, and Nick Chubb could go crazy in this game. So I don't mind Nick Chubb at 6,700. And then, you know, past that, the other guys, DeAndre Swift and James Robinson, are the running backs that I really want action on. I guess I should mention really quickly is Damian Harris. I don't mind him. He's only 5,500. He's not going to be involved much as a pass catcher, but this is a great matchup against Houston. Houston has actually been surprisingly pretty good against the pass. It's to get the run that they've really, really struggled with. So I don't mind Damian Harris at the price of $5,500 in a matchup that they should be heavy favorites. They're heavy favorites in this game. So I think it all kind of all aligns for Damian Harris that kind of have a big game here. And so I don't mind Damian Harris, but that would probably be the list for me of running backs that I'm looking to play. Do you have anybody else you want to jump over to wide receiver?
Nope. I'm pretty much on the same guys for the most part this week.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Okay, so wide receiver, we have Davante Adams, surprise, surprise, at 8,200. You have Justin Jefferson at 7,700. You have DeAndre Hopkins at 7,600. DJ Moore, 7,500. It's about time they finally decide to price him up. Then you have Terry McLaurin at 7,400. Mike Williams at 7,200. Debo Samuel at 71. Mike Evans at 68. Julio Jones, 6,700. Adam Thielen at 66. Deontay at 65. A.J. Brown at 6,500. Keenan Allen at $6,500. Chris Godwin at 63. CeeDee Lamb at 6,200. Brandon Cook, 61. Amari, 6,100. Chase Claypool, 6K. And Odell Beckham at 6K. What are we doing at wide receiver this week?
Wide receiver, I feel like, is the tricky spot this week when, you know, normally I feel like we can kind of pinpoint some spots that we like. But, I mean, outside of obviously Davante Adams at the top against Cincinnati, you know, you can play him as the run back, stack him in Green Bay stacks, or just play him as a one-off because, I mean, he's got 130 yards and two touchdowns and 10 reception upside in any game that he plays, especially against Cincinnati, who has been very good against the run. So I'm expecting Green Bay to pass a lot this game. The fact that they should not be able to be very efficient on the ground. So I really like Adams. And then if we think Dalvin Cook is going to be banged up, maybe Minnesota has to turn to the pass more, chooses to turn to the pass a little bit more. We know how bad that Detroit pass defense is. We've been attacking them all year long, and Justin Jefferson is the perfect type of receiver to absolutely shred them through the air. And then how good has DJ Moore been through 4 weeks? You know, we thought he couldn't get any better than he had been in weeks 1 through 3, and then he drops a 35 burger on us last week playing against Dallas. So Philly plays a ton of zone coverage, which is what, you know, Dallas plays a hybrid of zone coverage, and Houston, they're a team that DJ Moore had success against in week 2 as well. They play a good amount of zone coverage too. So I think that DJ Moore is due for another big week here. And he may go a little overlooked because of that $7,500 price tag. And I think that that's kind of a mistake. So I think he's definitely in play up there at the top. Debo Samuel's been the alpha in San Francisco this year. He's got 12, 8, 10, and 12 targets playing against a game against Arizona that they should be trailing. Or it turns into a shootout. You know, I think Trey Lance offers immense upside in that offense, way more than what Garoppolo offers just from his dual threat ability. So I really like, you know, these pass catchers for San Francisco, and it starts with Debo because he's been the alpha there. And then after that, I'm heavy on Tampa Bay this week. I think they might go overlooked a little bit because, you know, the narrative is that Miami has these really good corners. Well, Byron Jones and Xavien Howard both have been, you know, not great this year, allowing around 100 passer rating for both of them. So this Tampa Bay offense, we know that they're going to throw the ball a ton. And is Gronk coming back? That's the one injury that I have not kept up with this week, if he's back this week or not. But we saw the heavy involvement from Mike Evans last week with no Gronk, especially, you know, down in the red zone, not having Gronk available.
Gronk is listed as doubtful.
Doubtful. Okay. Yeah. So that makes me like Mike Evans even more. And people may be scared off because of the cornerback matchup, but that's I don't think that's something you should be worried about a ton. So I do like Mike Evans and Chris Godwin this week. And we've always attacked slots against Miami anyways. So definitely Chris Godwin here in this matchup. But outside of that, it looks like CeeDee Lamb is going to be the overlooked wide receiver coming out of that Dallas game. And I think that's a mistake because we know what Lamb's upside is. He's got 25 to 30 point upside. He's just kind of had a down week the last 2 weeks. And I think, you know, a lot of recency bias is on that. And people ignore, you know, the first 2 weeks that he had. Week one, he crushed against Tampa Bay, even though Amari Cooper also smashed that game. So I like CeeDee Lamb here against the Giants, where their outside corners are better than their slot corners. So I'm curious what kind of value guys you are on, because I'm finding a lot of interest. Oh, I do have one value guy I want to touch on. DeVante Parker at 5,400 is going to be going up against Pierre Desir, who will be starting for Carlton Davis, who's on IR for 2 to 4 weeks with a quad injury. Desir allowed a 78% catch rate and 115 passer rating and 5 touchdowns in only 8 games last year with the Jets. He's played very limited action the last 2 years. Got his first action last week because of the injury to Carlton Davis. He allowed all 3 targets on him to be caught. And you've got DeVante Parker, who's getting 22% of the air yards, 22% of the targets, 39% of the air yards, getting 8 targets a game and 105 air yards per game. And Will Fuller just got put on IR for the Dolphins as well. So I'm expecting Parker and Waddle to be the main passing attack there. And with Tampa Bay being on cornerbacks 5 and 6 in their cornerback room and pulling guys off the street pretty much, like Richard Sherman, I think the Dolphins are going to be able to put up a bunch of points through the air against Tampa Bay. And we know that Tampa Bay is going to be able to score against Miami as well. So I really like that game as a whole. And DeVante Parker stands out for me there.
I don't mind that call. I don't think he has a high ceiling, but you don't really need much of a ceiling. It's not like you need him to score 30 or anything like that. If I'm going to pay down at wide receiver, one value wide receiver that I really like is all the way down in the 3K range, and that's Kadarius Toney. He was targeted 9 times last week. The Giants are probably going to be without Sterling Shepard again this week and Darius Slayton, which, you know, I mean, Kenny Golladay will still be out there, but I think Kenny Golladay probably draws coverage from Trevon Diggs, who has been just absolutely incredible this year, a top 10 corner. And so I think we could see a lot of targets for Saquon again, but also Kadarius Toney in a matchup that they're going to have to throw the ball. I mean, like I said, he was targeted 9 times, and so I like him as, you know, as somebody who I think is going to get a lot of volume. And I think they're, you know, he's a guy that they're going to try to manufacture touches for, you know, at his price, range. It's really, really enticing, especially in a game that looks to be a little bit more of a shootout here in this matchup with them. So I don't mind him. He is 4K, you know, going against Dallas. So I do not mind Kadarius Toney if you're wanting to pay down at wide receiver. But so for me, the guys that I really want to play, surprise, surprise, not shocking, is DJ Moore, 7,500. The guy just absolutely smashes every single game. He's had double-digit targets in 3 of the 4 games they played this year and just continues to dominate, you know, for Carolina. So I like him. And Ja'Marr Chase, how in the fuck is Ja'Marr Chase only $5,800? I mean, I know they played, I guess it doesn't even matter. They didn't play Sunday or Monday night. They played Thursday. But Ja'Marr Chase at 5,800 makes zero sense to me, especially if Jair Alexander is going to be out. Even if Jair Alexander plays, it really doesn't worry me that much because he's going to be in one of those slings. So he's going to be limited in terms of what he can do on the field. So even if Alexander plays, I still do not mind Ja'Marr Chase at 5,800. He has been a baller so far this year, you know, scoring, you know, a lot of deep targets and on deep touchdowns. And I know T. Higgins is expected to be back, but I'm still not worried about it. He has a 24% target share, but he has a 46.5% market share of the air yard, which is 5th most among all wide receivers. So I like Ja'Marr Chase quite a bit this week. And so at 5,800, I'm going to be jamming him into my lineups at that price tag. Some other guys, A.J. Brown, Keenan Allen. I hate myself, but I'm going to keep going back to the well. I know A.J. Brown's been out, but I think especially if Julio Jones is out, and as long as A.J. Brown plays, he very well could see 15 targets in this game. They have nobody else to throw the ball to. And so I love A.J. Brown in this matchup against Jacksonville at $6,500. I think I can see people staying, you know, not wanting to go with him, but I love him. And then Keenan Allen at $6,500, you know, he hasn't really, you know, hit so far this year. He's been good. He has not really been great. His best game came week one, where he had 22 DK points. But other than that, he's been 10, 19, and 17. So, but at that price tag, $6,500, it is hard, really hard not to love that price tag for him. What are you playing Allen Robinson this week at $5,500?
Oh, I want to. The thing with Robinson is, I mean, he's just not getting any deep targets. So, like, he's got a good, you know, target share. Like he's getting 24% of the targets and 29% of the air yards. But I mean, even if we look at just the one week with Justin Fields starting last week, he got 18% of the targets and 23% of the air yards. And his A dot was deep last week. So Fields actually did throw the ball deep in week four. I mean, Mooney had an A dot of 17, Komet had an A dot of 21, and Robinson had an A dot of 18. So it really is, I guess, the weeks one through three that are bringing their, you know, their depths of targets down. So yeah, I mean, you have to have interest in Allen Robinson here, don't you? Because I feel like everybody's going to play Darnell Mooney after his big week last week, and that very easily could be the Allen Robinson week we see this week at a depressed price.
Oh yeah, nobody's playing Allen Robinson. I don't care. No, he has done absolutely nothing, and nobody's playing Allen Robinson. He's only $5,500. I have some interest at that price tag. He doesn't need to do a ton. I don't think he's going to burn you, and I think a big week is coming for him. You know, a big 8 for 120 and two, like, it's coming, and it very well could be this week against LA. So I don't mind Allen Robinson. I definitely think there's some risk there to it, but at $5,500. It's hard not to at least be interested in. And I am shocked that I'm not nearly as excited to play Brandon Ayuk, even at his price tag. He's at like $4,500, right?
He's burned me so many times already.
He has. I continue to jam him in thinking that he is going to turn it around and that he is going to, you know, take off, and it just hasn't happened yet. And I'm starting to think it might not happen, at least unless an injury comes for Debo.
Yeah, and I think that was when we saw Ayuk crushing last year, wasn't it, when Debo was out with an injury? So, I mean, Debo has been the alpha there in that offense. So, until Ayuk shows me that he can burn me, I think it's just a flash in the pan from last year right now. And I think Lance is going to lean on Kittle and Debo, as he should. And with his rushing upside, you know, that offense likes to run the ball anyways. And with Lance's rushing upside, you know, maybe we see lower pass volume than we already do. That's a low pass volume offense. So, I think I'm out on Ayuk.
Yeah, I'm sure I will jump off him and he'll go out this week. And
probably. So yeah. Everybody play Ayuk this week.
Yeah, that's how it works. You know, you try to ride with somebody for as long as you can. And then as soon as you get off, that's when they all of a sudden go off. So, other than that, like, I don't really, like I said, I think Marvin Jones is 100% in play at that price tag against Tennessee at $5,700. You know, him and Chenault, I think, are both in play. And then Jacoby Myers, I think Jacoby Myers scores a touchdown this week. It is coming for him. He didn't have a touchdown last year. He does not have one this year. He's getting red zone targets, but he just does not have a score. I think he could definitely do that this week against Houston at only $5,600. So I don't mind him either. Other than that, that's kind of where I'm coming in at wide receiver. You know, definitely, you know, in terms of the top guys, I want DJ Moore. I love Terry McLaurin too. I think he's in play. If I'm going to play a Chargers wide receiver, it's going to be Keenan Allen because of the price gap at $6,500 to $7,200. That is Mike Williams. And then AJ Brown up here at $6,500. If he's back, I'm locking him in. So do you have any, and Jamar Chase are kind of my locks at $5,800. Is there anybody else that you're, that Jess, you want to talk about, or you want to jump over to tight end?
No, just those Cincinnati guys, mainly Higgins and Chase, and then Devontae Parker. Those are going to be my quote-unquote value guys. I know they're in the 5K range, but I just don't really see myself gravitating towards any of those 3K or 4K guys this week. So I think that's where I'm going to end up. I think I'm going to have really balanced builds based on, you know, how these matchups and upside look for running back and wide receiver. Like we talked about multiple 6K running backs, and now we're talking about multiple 5 to 7K wide receivers. So I'm thinking that I'm going to end up with a pretty balanced build this week outside of CMC.
Well, you know, Randall Cobb at 4K is a cheap play. I don't mind him, but I just feel like you're kind of chasing last week's production of the 2 touchdowns that he had. He was targeted 6 times. You know, he's obviously Aaron Rodgers' guy. I don't mind it at his price tag, considering he's only 4K, but I'm not actively going out and, like, thinking I have to slam him into lineups, because I do think there are some other options right around there that I think you could at least take a look at. You know, like I already mentioned, Kadarius Toney at 4K. He's not going to have any ownership either, and I really don't mind that. If you want to include Randall Cobb in kind of a game stack, if that's what you want to do with, I don't mind it, but it's probably a little thin, and I don't think he has an incredible upside either or incredible ceiling either.
Yeah, I think that's actually a good segue into tight end, because I actually like Robert Tonyan this week for Green Bay. Kevin, I know you're on Aaron Rodgers. So last week, just looking at last week without MVS, Devontae Adams got 31% of the targets. He led the team, obviously. Then second was Tonyan with 20. And then third was Cobb with 17. And then Aaron Jones had 11. So you're looking at a pretty concentrated offense. We thought Lazard might be involved, but he only got 8% of the targets. So Tonyan had 20% of the targets and 26% of the air yards. He got 83 air yards last week and an ADOT of 12. So he's not just a check down tight end. I mean, they're using him down the seam, stretching the field. And had our boy Dan Arnold not gotten tackled with a flag in the end zone last week against Cincinnati, you know, we would be kind of be talking about how this is a solid matchup for tight ends against Cincinnati. Because, I mean, Dan Arnold in his first week with Jacksonville, like 3 days after he got traded, he put up solid production as a good pass catching tight end. And it could have been better production as well. So I like Tonyan this week. Outside of that, I mean, obviously you can play Waller up top, even though he's 7,300 going against Chicago. I mean, he's just so heavily utilized in that offense. And he's just an absolute monster and very hard to cover. So Waller's in play any week. He's just like Travis Kelce pretty much. Kittle, 5,600. We talked about Trey Lance should be the starting quarterback this week, and he should look to lean on Kittle against Arizona. So I'm expecting them to throw a lot if they're playing from behind. Kittle is definitely a main piece there for San Francisco. We talked about, you know, how bad that Minnesota defense is. So Hockenson's currently listed as questionable, but he's getting in limited practices. He is their main pass catcher there on offense. I mean, 11, 9, 2, and 8 targets in his first 4 weeks this year. Definitely a high volume guy. Outside of that, I mean, yeah, it's really Tonyan at 4,300. And then I do have interest in Mike Gesicki in a game that Miami should have to throw a lot to, one, keep up with the Bucs on the other side. And two, it is a pass funnel facing Tampa Bay, as their run defense is one of the best in the league. So I think Gesicki's interesting at 4,200 as well.
You took the words. He's only 4,200. That's exactly what I was going to talk about. He's sixth in routes run among all tight ends. He's also second in air yard share with 24.2%. He's also seventh in deep targets as well among all tight ends with a 17.8% target share. But really, I think it would actually be a lot higher than that had you take out that week one where he only ran 14 routes, was only targeted 2 times, because since then, he's run 36, 37, and 24 routes over the last 3 weeks. And, you know, over the last 2 weeks, he's really kind of taken off with 18.6 and 16.7 over the last 2 weeks of that he's played. So I do like Mike Gesicki, a fair amount, especially at his price tag at $4,200 if you're wanting to pay down a little bit. So I do like him. I don't mind Dalton Schultz, but I think Dalton Schultz is going to carry a lot of ownership because of the game script, the game, and what he's done the last few weeks. So I don't mind him at 4,400, but I think I would rather just pivot to either Tonyan or Gesicki at tight end. I think they make a little bit more sense, and they're not going to carry nearly the ownership there. In terms of – so Darren Waller has been kind of interesting because he had that first week, right, where he – it was like a Derek Carr targeted him like the entire game. He had 19 targets. But since then, he's gotten seven targets a game, 7-7-7 in each of those games. And so he, last week he was kind of bailed out a little bit because he scored a touchdown. And so he had 15 points last week. But, I mean, everything else is there. He's number one in routes run. He is number one in route participation. He's first in targets. He's first in air yard share, like literally across the board. He's first in red zone targets, first in deep targets. Like all of it's there. He just hasn't hit, right? And I think that the way that I can see this week going, I don't think a lot of people are going to be on Darren Waller, at least not enough. Not enough to where I think people, where it's going to take him, where I think he's going to be ridiculously high owned, because I think people are going to want to play Derrick Henry. People are going to want to pay up for this Dallas, this Dallas game. And so I just don't think Darren Waller is going to be as highly owned as he should be. And he is kind of the Travis Kelce of this slate. Now, does that mean he can't burn you? No, I had a lot of Travis Kelce last week. Thankfully,
me too.
Thankfully, I also had some Tyreek Hill in there that kind of balanced it out a little bit. But yes, I was very, very high on Travis Kelce last week, and that did not pay off. But other than that, I don't really have anything else to talk about the tight ends. If you really want to pay down, I really don't mind Dan Arnold. I think he's kind of sneaky. Last week, I was really surprised. I remember I was talking about that in our little chat we have about Dan Arnold and how much he was being utilized whenever he'd only been there for like 2 days, you know? And so, they really utilize tight ends in this offense. So, Darren, we always want to play Dan Arnold anytime we can. He is, a DFS DJ Nation show legend. But at 2,900, I don't mind that in the matchup that he's going to get.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. I think this is a week that I'm probably going to end up paying down for the most part, and I'm probably going to live in the Gesicki 4,200 and Tiny 4,300 range. But yeah, I don't mind that because Dan Arnold can easily catch a touchdown and match those guys.
Yeah, and then I think last but not least, I think Jared Cook. I think he's at least interesting. But I just don't know what that game looks like in terms of is it a blow-up spot? Is it a slow-paced game?
I don't know. I think the Cleveland defense has been playing good, and so has the Chargers defense. I mean, the Chargers defense just plays bend, don't break. And I think, Cleveland is going to try to run the ball a lot. And with how good the Cleveland defense has been, I think that clock is just going to bleed, and it's going to be a lower-scoring game than maybe what some people would predict it to be. So, because there are some good matchups on both sides of the ball there in the Cleveland Charger game, but at the same time, I just think it sets up for a lower scoring, good running game, especially for Cleveland. So,
yeah. So, let's go ahead and jump over to the defenses. Moving right along here. We have the Patriots at 4,900, the Bucks at 4,700.
4,900 for a defense. That's crazy.
Yeah, get all the way the F out of here with that. Like, no thank you. Or the Bucks, or the Broncos at 4,200. No thank you. The Titans at 3,800, the Packers at 35, the Panthers at 34, Steelers at 3,300, the Bears are 3,200, the Saints are 31, and the Vikings are 3K. Now, if you want to go down here like we always do and pay down for one of these bottom feeder defenses, where are you going this week? Because I kind of, I don't mind playing Washington football team. I know their secondary hasn't been very good, but at $2,300, Jameis is known to, turn the ball over a little bit. I don't mind that.
Yeah, it's going to be an ownership thing for me because they are the one that stick off the page. It's like that the same thing with the Bengals 2 weeks ago, right, when they were 2,100 or whatever and we just jammed them in. I think that you just play Washington at 2,300 against Jameis at home. But if they're, like, going to come in, 25, 35% owned where it's just outrageous, I don't mind Jacksonville. Min Price at home against Tennessee, a banged up Tennessee offense.
Yeah, I don't mind that either. Other than that, I know it's not really exciting, but for the defense, I really just look to pay down. I build the rest of my lineup and whatever comes in there. If I have enough, to get, you know, Washington in there, I'll go with it. If not, you know, give me the Jags at $2,100. Like,
I played the Jets last week.
Oh, I did too.
At mid-price.
Yeah. Paid off.
Yeah.
Wasn't bad. So, other than that, you ready to build this lineup?
Yeah, let's build a team.
All right. Well, why don't you start us off?
How about you start us off? I've started the last 3 weeks. I need some juju. Switch up some juju for me. I need some good voodoo going in this week.
All right. Well, I'm going to make it easy. Christian McCaffrey. Fuck it, man.
Oh, come on. I would have done that.
All right. Fine. Well, I'll leave.
No. It's okay. let's go with the game you like. I'm just going to play the other side. Let's go Joe Burrow. And we'll stack it up this way.
Okay. I know. I have an idea how this is going to go. I'm going to lock in I'm going to put in Ja'Marr Chase.
Okay, and I'll do T. Higgins to round out the stack.
All right, I'm going to go James Robinson at running back.
All right, and then I'm going – actually, let's wait on the Green Bay run back because we could do either Tanyan or Devontae based on how we play this.
Okay.
So you're going James Robinson. So that leaves 4,600 per. So let's go ahead. Let's just do the Jags defense for now. And let's play with this and see what we got here.
I am going to go with the little mini stack, and I'm going to go AJ Brown.
Ooh, I actually like that. Mini stack. Okay, so that leaves 4,900 per position. With tight end and flex remaining. We can't play Devontae Adams because that leaves us 1,600 left for tight end. So we need to go Tanyan here at tight end, and then you can have the flex. 5,500 flex, which is Harris or Allen Robinson pretty much, or Devontae Parker. So my vote out of those two would be Allen Robinson or Parker.
Let's ride. Let's lock in Allen Robinson. So
let's do it.
So the lineup here is Joe Burrow at 6,100, Christian McCaffrey at 8,700, James Robinson at 6K, Ja'Marr Chase 5,800, T. Higgins, AJ Brown, Robert Tonyan, Al Robinson, Jags defense. We are locking that in. We will make any changes if Christian McCaffrey does not play or T. Higgins. We'll make some changes and we'll drop that in our Discord. So if you are on Discord, you are not yet involved in the DFS channel, go ahead, jump in there. It's absolutely free. You can go to any of our YouTube channels, any YouTube video for the Fantasy Authority, and you will find a link to our Discord, and you can jump into the DFS channel, and we'll be dropping the lineup in there. If anything changes, we'll make the changes and put it in there. It'll be the perk of being in the Discord. It's absolutely free, so there's really no excuse not to join. And like I said, I will say this, the Discord has been popping. You know, it is always going. It is taking on a life of its own. It does not need us to run it anymore. Everybody's in there talking, answering questions, doing all kinds of stuff. So whether you play DFS, or redraft or dynasty or whatever your enjoyment is of fantasy football, there is something in there for you. We also have a player prop channel as well that's popping as well. So with that being said, I hope everybody has a great week 5. Let's win that money this week. And, we will see you guys again next week for week 6. Win that money, boys. We out. You think you can tell me what to do? You know who you're talking to? Well, you better get used to the way the ball bounces. I see what you got. Adventures and ounces. But that's a break, boy. Yeah, that's a break, little man. Break it down. Dangerous. Think you're a big man. I'll treat you like you're a little man. Break it down.
tell me what to do. You know who you're talking to.